Episode 4. This is the fourth and final part of our October Pro-Life mini-series dedicated to the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching on the dignity of every human life. 3 weeks ago in Episode 1, as the Synod for the Family began in Rome with Pope Francis, we reflected on the prophecy of Sister Lucia, the Portuguese nun to whom our Blessed Mother appeared at Fatima. Sister Lucia predicted that the final battle between the Lord and the reign of Satan will be about marriage and the family. "Don't be afraid," Sister Lucia said, "because anyone who works for the sanctity of marriage and the family will always be contended and opposed in every way, because this is the decisive issue." And as we look at our modern world, it's not a surprise that Satan is out to destroy the vocation and mission of marriage and the family. It's not a surprise that those who teach about the sanctity of marriage will always be hated and opposed in every way. And so, as St. Paul says, in season and out of season, whether popular or unpopular, whether convenient or inconvenient, I will continue to preach the good news of God's beautiful plan for marriage and the family, a plan that is only between a man and a woman, a plan that calls them to be faithful until death and open to the blessing of many children. In Episode 2, we were inspired by Gianna Jessen's testimony before the United States House of Representatives Judiciary Committee. By the grace of God, on the 6th of April, 1977, Gianna survived a late-term saline abortion that was encouraged by Planned Parenthood. On September 9th of this year, Gianna called on Congress to be brave and to stop funding the evils of Planned Parenthood. At the last Mass, I didn't ask for this, at the last Mass, there was a very kind gentleman who ran off several copies of Gianna's wonderful speech and just had them at the back table for everyone to take. It's well worth reading. She encouraged Congress to be brave, but unfortunately, as we know, Congress was not brave and continues to fund Planned Parenthood. But we know that nothing is impossible for God. What you didn't hear, that was 2 days ago, standing in the very nice, light fall rain, Bishop Quinn took all of the seminarians from Immaculate Heart of Mary Seminary to Rochester to pray and to fast to end the evils of abortion right outside of Planned Parenthood in Rochester. The local TV station was called on to report on the event, but sadly, for whatever reason, they were unable to cover the bishop and his seminarians in joyful prayer, singing and praying in the rain. Their prayers and sacrifices are going to bear great fruit for the kingdom of God. Last week in Episode 3, Pope Francis canonized the parents of St. Thérèse of Lisieux, Louis and Zélie Martin, the first ever canonization of a married couple in the same ceremony. During the midst of the Synod on the Family in Rome, the Holy Father gave us the example of a holy married couple, Saints Louis and Zélie. They provided a joyful home for their kids. They brought them to Mass every Sunday and Holy Day of Obligation, teaching them their prayers and teaching them to be generous to the Church's missionary work. Louis and Zélie were hard workers at their trade of watchmaking and lace-making, and they were open to life, for they had 9 beautiful children. Yet, as we learned last week, Louis and Zélie experienced some very difficult times, very serious crosses. They experienced the death of 4 of their 9 children. They experienced the death of their mother, Zélie, to breast cancer. All five living children, all of the daughters became nuns, leaving Louis and Zélie with absolutely no grandchildren. And the father, Louis, was paralyzed at the end of his life, unable to speak. This is a married couple that we can really relate to in our modern times. They had many of the exact same crosses that we do, cancers and strokes and untimely deaths, and yet they are saints. That gives us hope that there's hope for us, that in the midst of our crosses, we will be saints too. Saints Louis and Zélie, pray for us. And so, that brings us to today, to episode 4. During our October Pro-Life mini-series over the past several years, we have talked, as you are aware, a lot about marriage and the family. And rightly so, because this is the decisive issue. We've talked about the abomination of so-called same-sex marriages. We've talked about the evils of abortion, contraception, and sterilization. We've talked about the sinfulness of an attempted marriage outside the graces of the Catholic Church. But you've noticed we haven't yet talked about end of life issues. And they're just as important. Back on October the 5th of this year, 2015, as the first meeting of the Synod of the Family began in Rome, here in this country on the West Coast, Jerry Brown, who, as you know, is the governor of the state of California, was signing into law a bill that will allow doctors in California to prescribe life-ending drugs to terminally ill patients. We call this PAS, physician-assisted suicide. California is now the fifth state in the union to allow physician-assisted suicide. Oregon was the first. The states of Washington, Montana, and Vermont, along with California, also have legal physician-assisted suicide. I wish that I could say that California will be the last state to allow for physician-assisted suicide. But right now, in the state of Minnesota, legislation is being introduced that would make physician-assisted suicide legal right here in our own backyard. So stay tuned. You remember, a few weeks ago, Deacon John was inviting us to sign up to receive the updates and action alerts from the Minnesota Catholic Conference. If you haven't signed up already, there are cards still on the back of the church on the radiator. It doesn't cost anything. I think it's really important for us to know what's going on in the Minnesota legislature, especially when these different bills come up. And to let our senators and representatives know that we oppose the evil of physician-assisted suicide. What must Catholics believe about physician-assisted suicide? My very good friend, whose feast we celebrated last week, Pope St. John Paul II, reaffirmed our teaching on the solemnity of the Annunciation when I was still yet a young, skinny seminarian. Back on the 25th of March, 1955. It was done in his famous encyclical on the Gospel of Life, Evangelium Vitae. And this is what he says. I confirm, he said, I confirm that assisted suicide is a grave violation of the law of God. I'll spare the rest of the accent. I just want to make sure you're awake. He says, I confirm that assisted suicide is a grave violation of the law of God, since it is the deliberate and morally unacceptable killing of a human person. This doctrine is based upon the natural law and upon the written word of God. It is transmitted by the church's tradition and taught by the ordinary and universal magisterium. So there's our consistent teaching. We believe that assisted suicide is a moral evil. It goes against the, the fifth commandment. Notice that he says it's based on God's word, like the fifth commandment, for example, but it's also based on natural law. Natural law. Maybe some of you have heard of the Hippocratic Oath that doctors used to take. Maybe you've heard of the Hippocratic Oath. It's beautiful. There's one little short paragraph in the Hippocratic Oath that says this. In the Hippocratic Oath, the doctor swears, "I will neither give a deadly drug to anybody if asked for it, nor will I make a suggestion to that effect. Similarly, I will not give to a woman an abortive remedy. In purity and holiness, I will guard my life and my art." The Hippocratic Oath. Isn't that beautiful? Even the pagans got it right because they were listening and reading the book of natural law. Even the pagans got it right. They swore this oath to a pagan god, to the pagan god Apollo. The pagan doctors thought it would be unthinkable to give a deadly drug to someone. And they would think it unthinkable to even suggest it. They think it's unthinkable to give somebody a drug that would intentionally and directly bring about their death. There it is in natural law. The pagans got it right. And what made the California case a few weeks ago particularly painful is that Jerry Brown not only had at his disposal natural law, but God's law. Jerry Brown was a former Jesuit seminarian. Who should have known better? He said, "I don't know what I would do if I were dying in prolonged and excruciating pain," he said. "I'll tell you what you would do. You wouldn't kill the person. You'd stand by the person you love in pain." That's what Mary did. That's what John did. They stood by the person they loved in pain. St. John Paul II reminds us in Evangelium Vitae, true compassion leads to sharing another's pain. It does not kill the person whose suffering we cannot bear. That is stunning. It doesn't kill the person whose suffering we cannot bear. Pope St. John Paul II says, "You're fooling yourself if you think you're killing a person for their sake, out of mercy for them." Pope John Paul says, "If you're really honest, you're doing it because you can't suffer with the person. You can't stand to see the person suffer. You don't have time to suffer with that person." True compassion, the Pope says, leads to sharing another's pain. That's what compassion means, right? In Latin, cum passio, to suffer with. I don't know about you, but as I examine the world today, I see a lot of blindness. So many people are blind. So many people can't see the Lord's beautiful plan for us to be united with Him in His death and resurrection. So much blindness. But Jesus is calling us to Himself. Just like He called the blind man in today's gospel, He called him in his blindness to Himself. When the blind man jumped up and ran to Jesus, Jesus says, "Now, what do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus says with zeal, "I want to see. To what part of the Lord's beautiful plan for us are we still blind as a bat? To what part of the church's teaching are we still blind? But the Lord is calling us by name. He's calling us by name. And I pray that we'll respond like Bartimaeus, "Master, I want to see. Open my eyes, Lord. Help me to see your face. Open my eyes, Lord. Help me to see the world and my family and my life story as you see it. Lord, open my eyes so that, as the opening collect this morning says, that I may love what you command." Help me to love what you command. Open my eyes. Because your plan is the best. Why is his plan the best? Because he's a loving father to us. That's what the inspiring first reading from the prophet Jeremiah said today. "I am a father to Israel. A dad who loves his people, who leads them to brooks of water so that none may stumble." Isn't that stunning? What a perfect read-in for this Priesthood Sunday. Not just the epistle from St. Paul's letter to the Hebrews, which was also perfect, but this reading, "I am a father to you." That's what a priest is. That's why you call me father. I'm a father to you. And I always tell you the truth, even though it might be difficult to hear sometimes. But I always tell you the truth because I don't want any of you to stumble on your way to heaven. I'm a father to my people. And I will do my best with God's help to console you and guide you and lead you to the life-giving waters of the sacraments, so that you can see God face to face forever in heaven. Lord Jesus, I want to see. Lord Jesus, I want to see. Lord Jesus, I want to see.